Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunchberries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John Littlefoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunchberry.
No!
No one steals my Crunchberries.
I think you mean my Crunchberries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's disinfecting wipes conveniently tackle surfaces, including remotes, tablets, and smartphones, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but my day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds to Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
Well, Chuck, it's middle of March. You know what that means. NCAA tournament. We got that coming up in about 5 hours or so, a little less than that. Have you filled out your bracket yet? Have you completed it just yet?
Well, I'm still working on it this morning. I'm taking a look at a few things here and there. I'll have it ready by the time they tip off a little bit later this morning.
I don't know if I'm doing myself a disservice by completing it yesterday and then after the show going back and correcting it. I feel like that never pans out when I do something like that. I feel like my initial thoughts are more correct than often than not, and it's going to end up costing me points.
Ty, I fill it out once in ink. So there's no erasing. There's no going back. There's no changing things up. I play my gut, first instinct, write it down in ink. And that's the way I do it.
Well, Devontae Davis, Chuck, put pen to paper yesterday announcing that he is entering the transfer portal. Said through the years of practice and hard work, my goal was to always play for the Arkansas Razorbacks. It was a dream come true to wear the Razorback jersey and represent my home state. I want to thank the fans, teammates, and coaches for their support. I'm thankful for the amazing sponsors that gave me opportunities to partner with their brands, from the game-clinching dunks, made sure to get that in there, to hitting game-winning shots, made sure to get that in there in March. The memories will live with me forever. With much thought and prayer, I've decided to enter the transfer portal and explore pro opportunities. No matter where the journey takes me, Arkansas will always be home and to my family and me. I thought when he walked on senior day, it was inevitable. This was going to happen. I thought that this was going to come down at some point this week. It has. Now I just wonder where he's going to end up. And I think some Arkansas fans, whether they admit it or not, are also curious where Devo ends up playing basketball next.
Well, sure they are. I mean, everyone is thinking about it. It was, you know, this was, you know, I'm not trying to steal anybody's thunder here, but this was not terribly hard to predict.
No.
You know, you could see it coming. You know, you wish him well. Thank him for all the great things that he's done here. Devo's an Arkansas kid who has made a name for himself. And if you've grown up in our state, you have to appreciate that. So I do appreciate that, and I'm glad that he spent some time here. I think in retrospect, 15, 20 years from now, he'll look back and realize that these were the four most formative years of his life. But I hope he goes somewhere and has a great season next year.
Jamie texted in on the McCarty-Daniel hotline saying, everything runs its course. KJ Devo gave us some great times over 4 years, but there comes a time to move on and create a new atmosphere. And I think that that's probably a decent comparison. I know KJ's not in-state, but you were happy to get him from Sardis, Mississippi. Devo, as you mentioned, from Jacksonville, Arkansas, in-state. I think that comparison has been made before. And I think, again, I don't know if Devo's going to land in the conference or if he's going to try, as he said in the post, to explore professional opportunity. I do think the mindset might change if he lands at an SEC school. I don't think people will think as fondly as his decision if he goes to a school where you have to play. And I have no idea what's bouncing around in his head. I just feel like the perception will change a little bit if he lands within this conference.
Well, you know, I'm sure Devo, just to be blunt, is going to go where the best deal is. If it's in the pros, he'll go pro. If it's in college, he'll stay in college. If he decides to stay in college, he'll take a look at what's out there, and he'll make a choice based off that. It might be in the SEC. It might not. Look, the guy averaged 4.5 points a game in conference play last year. He's left the team twice. There's not going to be a high demand. I'm sorry. I love Devo. I'm thankful for everything he's done here. There will be a demand, but this is not going to turn Power 6 college basketball on its ear. I really do appreciate what Devo's done here, but I don't think, frankly, it decimated the Razorback basketball team yesterday, and I don't think it's going to be a big splash across the college basketball landscape. But now, having said that, I sure do wish him well, and I hope he has a great life because he's given this state so many thrills, and I know sometimes people this season griped about NIL money. Whatever NIL money he got, you think about how you felt when they beat Kansas, and you think about how you felt when they went to the Elite Eight his freshman year, and you multiply that by every Razorback fan in our state and every Razorback fan across the country. Devo gave him that. You know, he gave us all that. So I don't begrudge what he's gotten the last year or so. But I do think that's going to have a lot to do with where he ends up.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of NCAA tournament moments. He referenced a few there, and it's just fun to kind of go back and listen to him a little bit.
Davis the rebound. Got it. And ties the game. Saved inside. Davis will put it up. Arkansas has their biggest lead. It's Davis for the lead. Timeout. 2.9. Arkansas by two.
I mean, you and I can remember exactly where we were when he hit that shot against Oral Roberts to send him to the first Elite Eight since 1995. I wish him nothing but the best, as there has been several highlights. And we got to remember, when you go back to the initial Eric Musselman start of his tenure, Devo was once committed to Oklahoma State, decommitted, and then was the first of those four between him, Jalen, K.K. Robinson, and Moses Moody to commit to Arkansas. So he really started the trend of that group picking to come to Fayetteville. And I'm not going to say that they would 100% not have gone to Arkansas if he didn't, but it definitely didn't hurt that he chose Fayetteville first of those four.
Well, I think it might have had something to do with it. I wouldn't go so far as to say that, you know, that influenced some of the others. Look, I'm glad for what Devo did. I really am. But I don't think this should be time for a Devo tribute. I mean, he had great moments, and I'm glad that he did. But Razorback basketball is going to go on. And, you know, Devo left the team twice, fellas. I mean, let's not ever forget that. I'm not knocking the kid, but I don't, as I said a little bit earlier, I don't think Arkansas basketball took a step back yesterday.
Yeah, I felt like that it was time for, again, both parties to move on, and that's what I felt within, again, that happened with once you saw him walk on senior night, you mentioned the two times it exited. You like to go back a little bit and do remember the good times, because there were good times in. There were things that you got irritated by, even if you didn't know 100% of what happened later on. So Arkansas basketball, again, the big news, Devo Davis exiting the team. Still haven't heard anything about Eric Musselman and what's going to happen with this basketball team. I'm a little surprised that it's Thursday. The team lost on Thursday. We're a week into this, and we haven't heard something one way or another, because there's one or two things that are going to happen with your head basketball coaching position at Arkansas. Muss is either going to stay and get a new contract extension. It might not be an excessive amount of money. There might be a change of structure, or he's going to leave. And again, we're a week in till since they lost, and I know I've seen some things on social media, but nothing has been solidified. That is just surprising to me that we have not seen something one way or another when it comes to your basketball coach.
Well, I mean, it's Thursday, and, you know, I hear you on that. I think people would like to know when they'd like to know, and that's the biggest part of it, I think, right now. I don't know what types of conversations are going on between Muss's agent and Hunter. I don't know if they are having conversations. I would suspect they are, but I don't know that. I would imagine Eric Musselman's focus, and I think for those who've been around it, understand that this is how it works. He and his staff are busting their butts right now in terms of recruiting, in terms of the transfer portal. This is their 24/7 obsession right now. I would imagine the staff would tell you today that this has been maybe the most difficult 4 days they've had during the course of the last several months. I'm sure it's been nonstop. I have no doubt about that. And I'm not saying that it's going to happen here, because I don't believe it is. But when a coach leaves a job in a situation like college coaches are in now, they work until their agent calls them and says, hey, I think this is something we ought to talk about. They're not obsessed with it the way we are.
Yeah, and again, on the subject of the transfer board, we're getting some text in here on the McCarty Daniel hotline about guys that Arkansas is going after. We've seen three guys enter prior to yesterday, then Devo enters. I think that, and maybe I'm wrong on this, I'm not as close to the program as some, but I think all four of these, not just Devontae Davis, but all four of these were mutual. These guys saw kind of the writing on the wall. It was like, hey, we're probably not going to play it a lot next year. Muss is going to bring in a bunch of dudes. And specifically with Devo, I felt like that Devo was like, hey, I probably need to transition. Muss was like, hey, I appreciate the work that you put in the first 4 years, but it is probably mutually in each of our best interests that you move on to another school. That's at least my feel, not just on the Devo situation, but the other three guys too.
Well, I don't think it would be unfair to say that these were mutual decisions. I don't think that'd be unfair. Each situation is different.
Yeah,
but I don't think it would be inaccurate to say that, you know, both sides were ready, you know, to turn the page, so to speak.
Rick in Fayetteville asking the question on the McCarty Daniel hotline, talking, this is back to Muss. Why would we hear anything? What is a coach supposed to say in this situation?
Well,
but it's not Muss that we're expecting to hear something from the athletics department. We're expecting to hear something that is announced publicly, that, because again, there's one or two things that are going to happen. He's either going to be retained with a contracted extension or change the contract, or he's going to move on. It's not going to stay the same. It's not going to stay par for the course.
Well, but that can be true, and still we're not surprised. I think the expectation that all this would be wrapped up by today is wishful thinking. I don't think that's really how it works. But I do think that ultimately what you're saying is probably true. He's either going to stay with a new contract or he's going to go somewhere else. I think that's probably true. But that doesn't mean that the expectation should be that it's going to happen this week. As I said a little bit earlier, they're busting their humps right now recruiting. And the agent and the AD are the ones talking about it. And as much as we might like to know, they're under no obligation to tell
that
us.
That is true.
So, and frankly, some of the things that have been said over the last week or so about, you know, what Muss is going to do, the wild speculation, the faux reporters who have cited unnamed sources and made all sorts of statements about what's going to happen and what's not going to happen. I don't suspect it's been quite that dramatic behind the scenes. In fact, I know it's not been quite that dramatic.
And to add to that, don't you want your basketball coach worried about the transfer portal rather than his new contract? If it, you would rather him be focused on that situation than the money aspect, because again, for the first time in 3+ years, you're not in the postseason in the NCAA tournament. I would rather have a coach, and I think 99% of us would, that is more concerned with how they're going to get back to the NCAA tournament rather than, hey, since Nate Oates signed this fat boy contract, I deserve as much as he does.
Well, put yourself in the shoes of any college coach out there, Ty. Pick your coach. You're at this point in the, at the end of the season. You're hoping you get a new contract. You've got your agent working on it. You know, you know you're going to be coaching somewhere next year. Might be where you are. Might be somewhere else. And maybe in your heart you'd like to go somewhere else. But you still got to work that portal every day. Mm-hmm. Because what if the agent calls you up in 2 weeks and says, hey, man, I've been trying, but there's not anything out there. You have to stay for another year. Well, if you've spent the last 2 weeks just focusing on your contract and not paying attention to the portal, I can guarantee you one thing. You're going to get fired at the end of next year. And so I think people sometimes have this idea that, you know, coaches are sitting around on pins and needles waiting for their contract to be presented to them by their agent. And I don't think it works that way. And I'll go back to what I guess it was Rick that texted a moment ago. I mean, what's he supposed to say? What's Hunter supposed to say until it's done? If it's done, there's really nothing to say.
Yeah, I think it's not that you're wanting.
We just want it to be done.
Yeah, that's the. That's
just want to know.
It's a weekend, and there again, like I said, you'd rather have a coach that's focused on the portal. And you brought up a great point, because if you had a coach that's focused on something else, then and not his contract, then it was going to be a bad situation. But you can't get an update from Muss or Hunter because it doesn't until it's locked up.
You may have to go through the weekend not knowing.
Well, that's
that'll give you an opportunity to hang out with all your buddies and say, "Well, here's what I think's going to happen."
Yeah, at least I'm not saying that.
That way, you can be, you know, if it works out the way you predict, you can say, "I told you." So I know people want to know. Heck, I'd like to know how it's all going to work out. But I've said all along, I think he's going to be the coach here next year. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I've never thought anything other than that. Never for a single moment have I thought it would be any other way. Hey, let me pause for a second and talk to you about Weicker Realtors, the Griffin Company. If you are buying or selling a home, Weicker Realtors, the Griffin Company, has been my partner, and I can tell you my experience was very good. It was excellent, as a matter of fact, and I think that'll be your experience if you are buying or selling a home. It's very important for a real estate agent to listen to what your goals are, whether it's as a buyer or a seller, exactly what you are looking for if you are a buyer, exactly what you want out of what you've put into your home if you're a seller. You need that line of communication to be open. You need your realtor to take your calls. You need them to call you back if they can't answer right then. I can tell you with Weicker Realtors, the Griffin Company, that was my experience. There was never one time when I wondered, so to speak, what was going on. I always knew. I didn't always understand, but I always knew what was going on because they guided me through the process. And then ultimately, we got from contract to close. And if you bought or sold a home, you know there's a difference between signing a contract and getting to the close. And that process perhaps is what Weicker does best. Now, they've got offices in Northwest Arkansas. They're in Washington and Benton counties. They're in the River Valley. You're just talking about their Fort Smith office, their new office in Branson, servicing North Central Arkansas, Southern Missouri. They've got a vast selection of homes throughout this area, and you can check it out at WikerGriffin.com.
Jimmy is in Conway this morning. He has some thoughts on Devontae Davis. What's up, Jimmy?
Top of the morning to you, fellas.
Hey, Jimmy.
Yeah, I want to wish Debo well. I hope he finds somewhere where he can be happy. Man, when his head was in it and he was locked in, he's got some NBA talent, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But, you know, this year you just didn't see any of that. I don't know. I hope he's going to be all right, and I hope he lands somewhere good. But, you know, when you got a fourth-year player and you're not getting anything more out of him than you were this year, then it's time for him to go, sadly. But, you know, in this day and time, you've got to get production, especially out of a fourth-year player. If it's a freshman, you could maybe deal with that and move him on. But, I mean, 4 years, especially with his ability, you expected him to step up and be more. I did anyway, and we didn't get it. And I hate that. I wish he could have done it. But I don't know what happened, and I hope he turns out well and gets to a good spot. But what do you guys think? See you.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Well, you know, when you look at what happened this year in terms of Devo, the expectation I think was that it would be the Devo that, you know, played the way he did when Arkansas beat Kansas last year, and played the way that he did when, you know, they made it to the Elite Eight this season. And I want to clarify something, though. I don't think that we should be bashing Devo. And when I said a minute ago that this is a guy that averaged 4.5 points in conference play, I don't think it sends a, you know, huge ripple through college sports. I don't want to make it sound like I'm putting Devo down, because I'm not. Because I will tell you what I honestly think. I don't think he ought to leave. I think he ought to stay. I think this is his home. Devo thrives on the love of the fans. I've watched him at games when we do radio shows at Sassy's. I've never seen a player wear a Razorback uniform that needs, I mean in his bones, needs the love that he receives from Razorback fans. He's not going to get that anywhere else. If he screws up other places, they're going to boo him. Mm-hmm. They're not going to say what's wrong with Devo. They're going to boo him. And he's not going to get the love that he gets here when he goes out to eat, when he stops at the gas station to fill his car up. None of that stuff's going to happen anymore. His NIL value is in his smile, and the only people that appreciate that are the people in Arkansas. I think Devo is leaving home, and I think he's making a bad decision. But I also think that based on his play and based on some of the things that he's done, this is a mutual parting. And I think that's a shame, because it never should have come to this.
Here's my take on this. I think Jamie mentioned on the McCarty Daniel hotline going to Little Rock, potentially, where Jacksonville and Little Rock, we know how close in proximity those two are. I'm going to disagree with you.
I'd love to see him go play for Darryl Walker.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool. But I'm going to disagree with you, because I think part of life is leaving home. That's when you grow and actually become a man, is when you leave home, all the stuff behind. It doesn't have to be for a while. It doesn't have to be for years on years. But part of becoming a grown-ass man is leaving everything behind.
I'm just telling you,
I grew up.
Ty, you're telling me?
You're telling me
about growing up and being a man?
From my vantage point, I grew up more in a year being outside of the state than I have in 28 other years, because it wasn't home. And you have all these themes that you're so used to and that you can fall back into. And I think in this situation,
well,
it's going to be good
for you, but I don't think you know Devo. I just don't know how else to say it. I don't think you know Devo.
Again, Little Rock could be a destination for him. I think he would be better off going elsewhere and entering the harsh reality that is outside of Arkansas.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries.
Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas is the perfect destination for your next getaway. Join them for a romantic Valentine's Day getaway with a special dinner or romance package. Or if you're coming to town for live racing, they've got room for you every weekend, including Martin Luther King Day weekend and President's Day weekend. Experience all the luxury and hospitality of a Grand Southern Hotel. The accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more details. That's arlingtonhotel.com.
Call or text the McLarty Daniel Hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McLarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McLarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McLarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our six locations in Northwest Arkansas.
The tournament is here. Bet Online is your bracket headquarters for this season with the best bracket contests out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up to the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile device and even track your bracket real-time all the way through the tournament. Head to Bet Online today and get in on all the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online. The game starts here.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Chuck, real quick before we talk to Tom, I wanted to get your interest, engage your interest on this. Greg Sankey had some comments about expansion in the NCAA tournament, and I know that people have been frustrated with teams like Indiana State, St. John's, and others that weren't included. John Calipari was outspoken about this. He wants it to stay the same. I am not in favor of expansion. I think it's good the way it is. I don't see Power Six basketball teams breaking away from the tournament and trying to do their own thing. I think that's what people are afraid of. Are you in favor of expansion?
Well, I'm not sure if I'm in favor of expansion. I do think you've got to rethink some things. I listened to what Tom Izzo said a couple of days ago, and I don't think he's off base. I've watched the first four games. You know, I've watched them all because, you know, we're not in the tournament and I've not had to travel. So I've been at home and I've watched them. And I've enjoyed them. I particularly like watching Grambling win last night. But Oklahoma beats any of those teams.
Mm-hmm.
St. John's beats any of those teams. So I hear Sankey when he says, we got to get more of our Power Six teams in there. While at the same time, I think he also understands that if you do not preserve the David versus Goliath aspect of the NCAA tournament, that for a lot of people, it ruins the party. So you have a choice. Do you lock out the guys that have chances, you know, to make March Madness what it is? Or do you expand it so you can keep them in and get more Power Fives in? I think that's their dilemma. Now, I'm not all that much in favor of expansion, to be perfectly honest.
Either.
I understand where he's coming from, and I think he's probably going to get a lot of what he wants, and I don't think that's necessarily bad, but I do think if you take away the David versus Goliath aspect of March Madness, you ruin it for people. You just do.
I think that's that's what separates college football and college basketball. Is college basketball, you do feel like on any given day, any given night, the Cinderella can defeat the Goliath, and that is not how college basketball or college football feels when it gets to the playoffs, when it gets late in the year. It's a difference in sports. Still, Blue Bloods win it a lot of the times, but leading up to that championship, definitely not the case. All right, let's talk to our friend Tom Murphy here on the Morning Rush. He's with Whole Hog Sports and the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Tom, I just asked Chuck about expansion. I'm not a fan of it. What do you think about expanding the NCAA tournament?
Good morning, guys. Always a pleasure. I'm not in favor of it at this point, and I'll tell you. So you're watching some NIT games. I mean, you watched the Georgia, whoever Georgia played the other day. It was a great comeback by Xavier.
Yeah,
Georgia held on. But, I mean, is Georgia an NCAA tournament team? I'm not sure. I mean, and so you look at the bubble teams that didn't make it, and you don't have to go too deep before you kind of run out of really good teams. Now, look, I thought St. John should be in, Oklahoma. There were several others because Virginia made a mess of their bid, and so it was nasty. But I enjoy when the Norfolk States and then teams that make runs like last year. I think last year's example with FAU and San Diego State making it, it was a perfect example of how you should never cut out. I don't think there should be this prima donna tournament where it's all just the power teams. That would not fly. So I don't know what we're in any kind of rush about changing the current format. I covered Grambling State for 8 years. So very happy for them to have won last night. Phenomenal game. Some dude got a missed free throw rebound for Grambling and took five steps last night. I videotaped it. I couldn't believe that there wasn't a call. But anyway, I was happy Grambling won.
That was cool to see. And they get Purdue for their matchup in the NCAA tournament. Tom, the other basketball, to be outside of just brackets and what's going on, Devontae Davis announces that he is entering the transfer portal. I think everyone's heard the story. Do you think this was a mutual decision from Devontae and Eric Musselman in regards to his future?
I haven't heard anything definitive on that front, but doesn't it feel like it? It just kind of felt like a slow motion divorce that a lot of fans are not happy that a guy gets to, you know, quote, take a leave. But I said it extensively with you guys. It just, I think that Musselman needed to show some grace. The program did, because I just think he's a high intensity guy. And so I wasn't that appalled that 2 years in a row, he took time off and he came back, but that does kind of run its course. And I think it's probably best for the both of them. I mean, at the end of the season, he got a little bit vocal about how he took a back seat, what he called it, under the covers. And so they have to determine who are their scoring guys going to be. How's that going to work? How is Battle and Tremont and Mark going to work together? Because when Mark was going, Battle wasn't doing a lot. And then late in the year, when Battle really got going, Mark had to take a little bit more of a subsidiary role. I hope they both come back. I hope they find a way. to make it work. But I just think with Devo, there were so many people at the positions he played. And there were some games where offensively, when he got the ball, you just didn't expect much to happen other than he passed it to somebody.
Tom, earlier we gave our upset pick. I don't know if you've completed your bracket just yet. Do you have maybe a game that you've picked and selected and say, this team's going to get upset?
I've got several. I did two brackets. I've got UAB winning on one of them, and I've got Morehead State beating Illinois on another one. There's a couple of others that are, you know, in the 3-4-5 range getting upset. I went back and forth on, I know it's an 8-9, but Texas A&M and Nebraska because of the Japanese sensation. I'd like to see him stay alive in the tournament. But then again, you know, A&M made a great – I tell you, the bubble teams in the SEC, I thought A&M was dead in the water in their losing streak. And then they got hot at the right time, made it. Mississippi State had lost 3 or 4 in a row at one point, and you worried about them, but they got hot in the tournament, certainly played their way in. So good job by the SEC getting a bunch of teams in.
Speaking of the conference, talking with Tom Murphy here on the McCarty Daniel Hotline, the conference announced yesterday, it's kind of – I thought it was lazy. I don't know what you think about this. Same opponents in football next year, but they're on the road this time. So if you played a team at home, you get them on the road. If you played a team on the road, you get them at home. You know, the term I use is lazy. What did you make of the SEC's decision to just basically flip them from this year to next year?
Yeah, if you go back to the SEC's decision to go with an 8-game conference schedule in 24, you remember that the TV contract had something to do with it. ESPN wasn't prepared to pay more money for that ninth game in the inventory, so to speak. And I don't think anything's substantially changed on that front. So you could call it easy, and it's certainly convenient, I believe, would apply. But why, I mean, it was a way to move the ball forward 1 year and also to get a year of data, really, I guess, a couple of years of data on what the college football playoffs will look like for the league. Because really, isn't that the bottom line? How many teams you can get into the college football playoff and how much money you can make from it? I am not opposed to the SEC staying with 8 games for as long as they want. They have dominated. They didn't win it last year, but their formula has worked. You can complain about not having some other marquee game, but I mean, really, there's a lot of great games. And honestly, the Arkansas, South Carolina, the Mississippi States, and so on of this league want a path to get to bowl eligibility better. And if you have 9 games in conference, and then you play a Power Five, then you're playing 10 really tough opponents. So I see the wisdom in staying with 8, flipping the schedule over from 24 to 25. I don't really have a problem with it. You look at Arkansas' schedule. I was writing extensively about the 25 schedule. They got Notre Dame coming in. You know, and then they'll play the back end of that later, I think 29. But they got a road game at Memphis. They're playing Arkansas State. That's a fun schedule if you're a Razorback fan.
And it's a fire me schedule. I mean, think about those non-conference games. Arkansas State is going to give every bit of energy to try and win that game in Little Rock. Memphis has had last decade or so some good teams and good programs, and Notre Dame is, while they're not what they were in the 80s and 90s, that's still a really good football program that is going to try and win in the SEC institution. So while it's a fun year, really tough year for Sam Pittman, assuming he's the head coach this next season. Tom Murphy with us here on the McCarty Daniel Hotline, Whole Hog Sports, Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Tom, baseball has kind of gotten pushed to the side, even know you're the number one team in the country. Hagen Smith's on the mound tonight. I didn't realize how close Arkansas was to achieving the longest winning streak under Dave Van Horn. That doesn't, being number one, having that streak doesn't seem to mean something to him. But how do you think they respond for the first time on the road? Because we know that game, those games in Globe Life were anything but road games, or neutral site for that matter.
Yeah, it's going to be tougher, obviously. You know, no question about that. Auburn will be pretty feisty after losing 3 in a row to Vanderbilt. But as long as you've got those guys, and I mean Smith and Tiger and Molina, as long as they're, you know, dealing, as long as the wind isn't blowing straight out the way Hagen Smith did with the first 3 batters of the year, they're going to give you a chance. And it is kind of funny that all this basketball is taking place and the football schedule, like, oh yeah, Razorbacks are playing now today. And they are a really good team. But I also think in the back of our minds, we're going, when they start hitting deeper into their roster, they're going to be really formidable. And if they can start doing that, and yet they're still number one. And I still think they're ironing out, but very pleased with the rotations they could have at third base with Sprague Lott and Holt. And then Susan is just this wild card who's gotten off to a great start. And you can plug him in at second. Maybe there's a way they can play him at third. I mean, he could probably play anywhere, but his bat's been valuable. And then you've got depth. I mean, you can have Jason Jones at left. You can have Lovich there. You can move Will Edmondson around. He's gotten on base a lot. So there's a lot of pieces. And then, of course, the catcher deal. So a lot of pieces for Dave Van Horn. And when they hit upon the right combinations, get on base, drive guys in, they could be really formidable.
Tom, would it be good, as we let you go, would it be good for this team to get whacked around a little bit? I mean, they see their press clippings. Hagen's been fantastic. It's been nothing but good the last 13 games or whatever the streak's at. Would it be good if they got batted and beared a little bit this weekend to kind of bring back down to earth?
I think if they were ego surfing, maybe, but Dave Van Horn has a way of keeping the right, you know, pressure or the atmosphere in the clubhouse, and about how, you know, we haven't done anything yet. You know what I mean? Like, we can still hit more. We can drive runners in with in scoring position better than we have. And he can always point back to the Arlington and say, look at that, you know. So I think they keep level heads. But there is going to come a time they're going to run into a hot opponent. Look at the pitching A&M has. Look at the start that Alabama's off to. And they're going to play both of those teams. Look at what Mississippi State and LSU did, a high-scoring weekend. So there's going to be some bumps in the road ahead. There's no doubt. And who knows? They might have a series like, you know, the LSU won a couple years ago where they get bumped around. It's going to happen. So it's just going to be a part of the course of a long season. But I just think they're equipped to handle that type of thing.
Tom, we'll leave it there. Appreciate your insight and time as always. And we'll chat on Tuesday and see what crazy upsets happen this weekend.
That's right, man. See y'all.
That is Tom Murphy with us via the McCarty-Daniel hotline as we welcome in Chuck Barrett back into the conversation. Chuck, I didn't realize until I saw the game notes, again, the third longest streak right now in the Dave Van Horn era. It's really the second. They kind of did the COVID year and the 2021 combined that. But I mean, if you win three straight this weekend, that'll be the longest ever in one calendar season.
Well, they're playing really well right now. And, you know, I want to – a couple of things Tom said there. I don't think this team has any type of attitude issue at all. I don't think there's any value in going down there and getting beat. Zero value in that. You know, as Dave said the other day, he said, I've never brought it up. He said, I've never discussed with this team our number one ranking. It's never come up one time in the clubhouse. They've been ranked number one before. You know, this is a great program. I'm not saying you expect to be ranked number one, but I'm saying that you don't do cartwheels when you are. You act like you've been there before. And I think they're fine in that regard. Now, what's going to be, you know, we focus on the pitching a lot because that's what's been so dominant of late. I'm going to be interested to see this weekend how players like Souza, Tom mentioned Sprague Lott, some of the others who are going on the road in our league for the first time. You know, Souza, it's been all love so far. You know, they didn't call upon him to do a whole lot down there in Texas. You can correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're right.
But he's kind of burst on the scene at home. I'm not saying that's easy. It's not. But it's easier than doing it on the road.
Yeah.
And it's going to be different. Everything's going to be different starting at 6 o'clock tonight for those players who have not been in this position before. I'm less worried about Hagen Smith than I am some of the others because he's been there before. And I know what his demeanor is going to be. I don't know what the demeanor of some of these other guys is going to be. And to me, that's the key this weekend. Win the series. You got a sweep at home last weekend. Let's go on the road, win a couple of ball games. If you win three, great. But let's win the series. If you do that, probably going to stay number one. Even though right now being ranked number one doesn't mean all that much. You want to be ranked number one at the end. Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Kind of touched on the 2025 Arkansas football schedule with Tom, but if you missed it, all 16 SEC schools are going to play the same opponents in 2025 as they were in 2024. The only change is if you play the teams at home, you play them on the road, and if you play the teams on the road, you play them at home. So that means that Arkansas is going to play Mississippi State, A&M, Missouri, and Auburn at home, and then travel to LSU, Ole Miss, Tennessee, and Texas. Chuck, you haven't played A&M since Johnny Manziel came in here in 2013 in Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium. I think that'll be something that fans will look forward to in about a year and a half.
Yeah, that'll be a good game. Be a fun game for them to come in here. They're basically in a holding pattern. Until they decide whether to go to nine games. They've got the new playoff format coming in. Obviously, you've got two new teams coming in as well. I understand why they did what they did. And look, there's also some competitive fairness and balance at play here too. And so I don't think moving forward it'll be this way every year. You'll just flip opponent's sights, but I think for right now, it's probably the right thing to do.
Hoping for a competitive series in Auburn this weekend. Honestly, if it's not competitive, Arkansas just blows them out. That's great. But to listen to Dave Van Horn talk about the mentality this team has to have starting tonight, it's all mental from here.
When you go on the road, you got to be ready because it's a different situation than at home a lot. But it's all mental. It's how you see it, perceive it, and you just have to go into it with a maybe a little bit different attitude. It's got to be a little more intense. You know, at home, you're more comfortable. On the road, you got to find a little edge.
I like how you said it earlier, and Chuck, you would know better than most just the mentality that Dave Van Horn has with his guys on the road. It's that, like, us against the world. You got to, again, Auburn, I know they did not play well against Vanderbilt last weekend, but you're walking into their building. They're wanting to, again, respond after getting blown out by the Commodores in Nashville. And so you better show up or you're going to get spanked starting tonight.
Well, baseball more than I think football and basketball, you cannot base your opinion on this weekend based on last weekend. You just can't. You're going to be wrong a lot of the time in a conference season if you do that. I've seen teams, including ours, turn on a dime. And one play will let you, take off on a streak for two or three weeks. And so other teams are looking to find that lightning in a bottle right now. The Razorbacks need to just keep doing what they're doing. I'm not worried about their approach. Look, Dave Van Horn was a middle infielder as a player. Dave Van Horn's a fighter. He's a 62-year-old second baseman. And all that entails, hard coming in to break up the double play. I mean, he's a middle infielder. And so that's always been his mentality. And I think that's, as I said earlier, he's the best road coach I've been around in any sport. And a lot of that is Dave's a fighter. He does it in a classy way. But he'll fight you to the last drop of blood. Don't kid yourself. That is one competitive son of a gun.
Junkyard dog is what I've heard him described as before, and that's from his former players that have spoken highly about him. 6 o'clock tonight, 6 o'clock tomorrow, and then 2 o'clock, all right here on ESPN Arkansas. Most of these stations, hitthatline.com, and our brand new Hit That Line Now app. That is your Hog Update this morning, brought to you by our friends at Mr.'s Barkey.
You don't have to put up with any malarkey. Call 888-8-SPARKY.
Also do want to mention, Devontae Davis announced yesterday he's entering the portal. We'll touch more on that coming up in the second hour. Brackets, if you've not filled it out yet, go to hitthatline.com. Click on the March Madness tab. It's in the top left part of the page. And if you haven't filled it out and you think you're going to have a perfect bracket, I saw this report, Chuck, that things that you're more likely to have happen to you than a perfect bracket: throw a perfect game on the baseball field, win the lottery, eaten by a shark, attacked by a grizzly bear at Yellowstone, eaten by an alligator in Florida, struck by lightning indoors, or a hole-in-one. Now, the hole-in-one thing for me might be worse off than perfect bracket, but It's 64 to the 64th power. So you do 64 times 64 times 64 times 64. Not exactly a recipe for success, and that's why no one ever does it.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah, there's a chance.
There's a chance.
You can have it. I need you to send me your bracket when it's done, and I'll send you mine. We'll compare notes. But we both like upsets. Hopefully our upsets pan out.
I don't like upsets after the first and second rounds. You can wreck your bracket if you start picking too many upsets.
That is true. If you think a team's going to go a long way and then they...
Better lean chalk. Be selective with your upsets.
After that. Well, it is going to be fun. Starting 11:15, I'm going to be worthless. Tommy's out of town, so I'm not doing jack squat the next 2 days. That's the great thing about it. He picked the perfect time for spring break, so I can just coast these next 2 days.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last crunch berry.
No!
No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries.
Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua Sign Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
Chuck, we brought up Grambling a little bit earlier, and I was happy to see them win last night. Really happy to have any basketball on, but just to you get Purdue, that's your reward, but first ever win for them.
Yeah, I watched that last night, and they were really good. I mean, it was really entertaining. I'm not saying I think they're going to beat Purdue, but I'm saying I thought it was really entertaining last night, and I thought all the first four games were pretty decent. They were all fairly close. Virginia's really bad. That was the one game that wasn't close. I mean, Virginia's really bad. But, you know, the Wagner game the other night was good, and the Boise, Colorado game was okay last night, but I suspect all those teams will lose in the first round. Colorado goes in and as a 10 seed. I guess they're going to play Florida.
Yeah, with Micah Hanglogden, I think is how you pronounce the dude's last name, the center that
Hanglogden
that heard it. But yeah, Buffs moved on last night.
Seconds are going to come off the clock, and the Colorado Buffaloes are moving on to Indianapolis.
Didn't mean to interrupt you. What you asked, Chuck?
Is Hanlogden going to play in this game?
No, he's done. He broke his leg. He's done.
He's out for the year.
Yeah,
then.
He's done for the year.
Right.
Unfortunately,
I lost track of that.
Yeah, unfortunate news.
Yeah, that's because you know if they get by Colorado, they'll play Marquette. I don't think they'll beat Marquette, but if they do, they perhaps play Kentucky in the Sweet 16.
That would, and there's a couple intriguing potential SEC matchups like Tennessee and South Carolina, I think is one that could meet.
Could happen.
Yeah, in the Sweet 16. 16. You mentioned Kentucky and Florida being a possible team. We've seen some other like matchups within the College World Series, but I wouldn't mind seeing an SEC matchup in the NCAA tournament, Chuck, when it gets to those later rounds before we get to the Elite Eight and Final Four.
Yeah, I guess to have two in the Final Four, you'd have to have Tennessee or South Carolina win that bracket, and then you'd have to have Kentucky or Florida win the South. They'd be matched up in the Final Four. I don't know about Alabama winning the West. I just don't know. And Auburn seeded fourth in the East, so that's kind of where they'd have to come from, you know, if they end up facing one another. And I don't think that I don't know if that's going to happen. It'd be fun if it did, but I don't know.
I think that for the SEC, and I said this, Tommy asked this question last week, and maybe I was bullish on my answer, but you've got to get over the hump. You haven't had a Final Four team since 2019, haven't had a national champion since 2012. It is one thing to say you're the second best conference in college basketball, which I think is pretty undisputable at this point. But you have to combine that with tournament success. And I'm not asking for two or three SEC teams to make the Final Four. You just need one. You just need one team. And everyone has areas that they could, again, falter on. Tennessee, like the regular season Rick, that moniker needs to go away. Kentucky, it's their defense. It's atrocious, like Alabama's. Auburn, it's their guard play and the fact they're in the bracket of deck with UConn. But I really do think, and I had Auburn in one of my brackets in the Final Four, I really believe that one SEC team, even if Jimmy and Conway doesn't like it, I really do think one SEC team will make the Final Four this year.
Well, odds are. I don't think it's going to be Auburn. I would be very surprised if anybody beats UConn on the way to the Final Four. I don't know if they're going to win the national championship again, but I'd be real surprised if anybody knocks them off. Now, I think the West Regional is wide open. North Carolina's good. They are good. But I don't know that they're, you know, invincible. Arizona is a number two seed. Baylor's a number three seed. Alabama's a number four seed. All of those teams are beatable. You know, that to me is a wide open regional. When I look at the South regional, I'm kind of like you. I think Kentucky may make a run through this thing. But Marquette's in that, you know, they're in the South regional too. And Marquette's a really good team, and that's who Kentucky would play in the Sweet 16. So there's nothing guaranteed there. The Midwest is what's tough for me. I don't know who to pick out of the Midwest. Purdue?
Yep.
Tennessee? I mean, neither one of them have torn the postseason up. Creighton? They're the number three seed. Getting to the Sweet 16, getting to the Elite Eight, getting to the Final Four – those are different things right there. Final Four is different than the Elite Eight and the Sweet 16. I'm kind of at a loss right now to say who I'm going to bring out of the Midwest. I want to say Tennessee, but back to your point, yeah, odds are there will be one SEC team in the field.
Yeah, Tennessee, even after that NCAA tournament, or excuse me, the SEC tournament showing, I still think they have what it takes to get to the Final Four. But I've said that
I
about,
do too.
I've said too. I've said that about a Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield team. I've said that about other Tennessee teams, and they floundered and they've fallen short. So maybe this team, for the sanity of Bruce Stanton, for the sanity of Craig and Deere and a few other Tennessee fans that listen to this program, maybe they get over the hump this season. But it is, and Chuck, I mentioned this at the top of the show. Now, you and I would much rather be in one of the NCAA tournament sites right now, because that means Arkansas is playing. But this year, we actually get to take in every single game, which the last 3 years we haven't. Again, every Arkansas fan listening would rather watch the Hogs rather than watch these other games. But I guess I'm trying to find the glass half empty or glass half full approach, that I'll get to watch all the games this year.
Well, if you can get away with it, yeah, go for it. I'm going to pay attention the way I always do. Might have a chance to watch a little bit more since there's no travel involved this weekend. That certainly does make it different. I'm interested, but I'm a lot more interested when Arkansas is playing.
Yeah, there's no question about that. SEC games, before we transition from this, again, you've got Mississippi State at Michigan State. First game on today on CBS at 11:15. South Carolina against Oregon at 3, Kentucky against Oakland at 6:10, and then Tennessee against St. Peter's at 8:20. Wouldn't that be something if the St. Peter's ended up being in another SEC team within a 3 or 4 year span for the victory?
8:20?
Yeah, 8:20. That's late.
One thing, I don't know who's going to win the game, but I know who will not be awake when it's over. And you're talking
Chuck
to him
Barrett.
Right now.
Chuck Barrett. Yeah. I know again, you combine the focus of the NCAA tournament, everyone's excitement with our audience today, with the juxtaposition of what's going on with this basketball team. Four players have now entered the portal: Joseph Pinion, Keon Minifield, Denaje Harris, and then Devo Davis announced yesterday. We were kicking around the idea as the season concluded this past Thursday and on the show Friday, how many guys would leave with those additions, or with those subtractions. Excuse me. There are a lot of roster spots open. We saw a lot of turnover this year. Chuck, I'm thinking there might even be more roster turnover than we had last year, which I didn't think was going to be the case. But because of the graduates, because of the exhaustion of eligibility and the guys that have already cited leaving, it's going to be more than last season.
Well, we'll have to see how it all shakes out. I mean, there's a lot of movement. And, you know, ultimately they'll have a team put together by the time we get to the beginning of the school year in the fall, or in August, I guess. But I don't know what it's going to look like. You know, there are years, I say there are years, it has not been around that long, but there have been points in, I guess, every year where I've thought, yeah, they're going to have a good number of these guys back. And then there are points in each of the years where I've thought, everybody's leaving. There's not going to be anybody here next year. And it falls generally somewhere, you know, in between, but I won't say in the middle, because yeah, there's obviously going to be significant roster overhaul.
Here's my thought on where Arkansas basketball is heading into next year. I don't know what Layden Blocker is going to do next season. I don't know if he's going to stay. I don't know if he's going to leave. I don't know if there's a conversation that's being had between him, Muss, and the staff right now on kind of what he projects for next year. I would guess after spring break, those exit conversations, or, hey, we want you to stay conversations, happen. But if he leaves...
I think they've already happened.
You think they've already happened?
Okay. I think they've already happened.
So
yes.
if he makes his decision post-spring break, whether it's here or stay, you either will have one Arkansas kid on the roster, or you'll have zero. Either way, that's a problem to me. This program, over the years, has always had more success, or when you look at the successful teams, let's put it this way, has always included way more than just one Arkansas kid. Take, for example, Muss's first great team that he had, or good team, whatever you want to call it. You had KK Robinson. You had Debo Davis. You had Jalen Williams. You had Moses Moody. And those were just the freshmen that were on that team, plus Ethan Henderson and other guys that were still on that roster. I realize that he, as a head coach, with his social media prowess, with where he's taken Arkansas, has become more of a national program, not to the degree of what is in the 90s or when it was at times under Eddie Sutton, but I, with his, again, the social media push, you can go get kids out of California. You can go get kids out of other pockets that you haven't necessarily been able to get. You've got to come back and center your focus on the kids in state. You have to do that because you're going to win that way. There are headaches in state players. I understand that. I understand that you've got kids, you've got parents, aunts, uncles, family members, all these people that expect that kid to play in state. But we cannot, as a basketball program, ever have a roster that is successful that has one or zero Arkansas players. It's not going to work. The less talented players in this state are always going to want it more, play harder. We saw this team last year feel less like an Arkansas basketball team than any point under Eric Musselman. Even in year one with Isaiah and some of the other Arkansas kids, that still, they weren't great. They weren't that talented. But they still had a little dog in them that you saw. You really didn't see this team till late. That is an issue for me, depending on what they do with this roster. If there's zero or just one Arkansas kid, you got to come back home. And if they do that, I don't think you're going to have the same type of issue like you did with this team this past year.
Well, I think you're comparing apples and oranges. I hear you. But you know, Jalen Williams and Moses Moody are NBA, you know, those guys are in the NBA. In other words, they're going to play. The other guys that you mentioned, Ethan and some of the others, KK, all good guys, but they ended up leaving. The only ones that stay, the only ones that that contributed for you were the two guys that went to the NBA. My point is the point that I made the other day. If you're going to sign an in-state kid, and I'm all for signing in-state kids, they need to be able to play. They need to be able to contribute significantly. Otherwise, there's going to be hard feelings, and the kid's going to end up leaving. And we've seen that over and over and over again, not just recently, but throughout the history of our program. Yes, it's great to have in-state kids. It certainly is. But you don't sign in-state kids. And basketball and football are entirely different here. Entirely different. In basketball, you've only got certain so many spots. And only about 8 or 9 of them are going to play. And so if you're going to sign an in-state kid, he better be able to play for you. And I don't mean just like 4, 5, 8 minutes a game. Because otherwise, everybody from his community is going to be saying, how come he's not playing more? And there are going to be hard feelings. So I'm not as strong on that as you are.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you've got a great player from Arkansas, a great player, you better go get him. And you're right. A lot of the success we've had has come from Arkansas players, but virtually all of them went to the NBA. You know, they virtually all played professionally. Arkansas has not gone to the Final Four with a bunch of cast-offs from small towns in our state that nobody else wanted. That's not how we've done it. When we've won big with in-state players, they've been great players. So I agree. It's always best to have a great in-state player. But the operative word there is great. Because if he can't play a lot, you're just bringing a lot of problems. It's just the truth. I can't put it any other way. I've just seen it play out that way over the years too much.
I look at this 2024 recruiting class that was in-state for Arkansas. Nor Bowentain is the highest-rated player. He's a Central kid. He's going to Missouri. Other guys are 3 stars. You've got a better class in 2025 with Terrion Burgess being one of the notable guys in-state. And I hope this happens. Layden's little brother, Landron, is part of this class. Sealy's the Springdale kid, 4-star Springdale here in Northwest Arkansas. Terrion's, you got to get one of those guys, if not both.
And if they can help you. If they can help you, yes. You got to, whoever you think can help you and you're after, you need to get them. You don't need to lose an in-state kid you want, but neither should you feel obligated to take an in-state kid that's borderline over an out-of-state kid that projects a whole lot higher.
See, but that's pretty much...
That's the difference in basketball and football, Ty. There's more roster spots in football. You can roll the dice there, and it's not going to wreck you. In basketball, you've only got 8 or 9 guys that are going to play.
And that again, that's hard to dispute. It's hard to go back against. I don't know what his entire philosophy is going to be heading into this recruiting cycle. And I mentioned, again, Boateng's going to Missouri. There's not necessarily in-state, but there are guys that are from this state that went elsewhere that have entered the transfer portal that might have look or interest in Arkansas. And I wonder if that's mutual. A lot of guys will hit this portal this calendar year. Something to keep an eye on is 4 guys have already departed with this basketball team. What your basketball coach is going to be doing with the future of his program.
Well, and one thing you've got to remember, too, just the landscape of college sports right now is that fewer high school players are being signed, particularly borderline high school players. You go get those guys out of the portal. Somebody else is paid to develop them. You know, somebody else has spent the time and the energy and the money to develop them, and you get the more finished product. So that affects not just kids out of state, but it affects in-state kids. It affects all high school kids. It's just one of the byproducts of the transfer portal.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John LaFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries.
Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.